It had been put to us that this was a package of legislative reform that seeks to remove the nobles completely from Parliament and strip His Majesty of all his remaining powers, and to remove both the nobles, His Majesty and the royal family from any involvement politically, socially, economically in the nation whatsoever. So it's basically a complete tearing apart of our cultural fabric on every level. That's the ultimate political endgame.
When I spoke to the Prime Minister about this, he didn't mention anything about touching the king's powers.
That's the understanding that's been given to us, and that's part of the concern, is that the removal of the nobles' involvement in Parliament is the initial step, but that we can deal with that initial step on its own, and that's a very nuanced question on its own anyway, because as you know, the nobles are in Parliament as representatives of the people who live on their estate. It's not the popular, very simplified misnomer that they only represent one another. So they represent their fellow lords who elect them in and the people who live on all those estates. As you know, in Tonga, we have a land tenure system by which the nobles by law must give out their estates free of charge, a quarter acre to every male of age and capacity to live on, and 8 acres to farm on. Absolutely free land from the state, and more specifically from the nobles and from the king. So we represent those peoples who we give free land to, who are then able to make a living. So it's a much more nuanced question than merely a one person, one vote, in a very straightforward first-past-the-post system. The reason that you must always have culture, and culture is often bandied about as a dirty word, but culture specific political provisions in the way you run your country, because your government should obviously reflect the way you run your day-to-day life. For example, in Samoa, chiefs are the only ones who are allowed to be candidates at all. The general populace are not even allowed to be candidates to Parliament. They can vote in universal suffrage, but they can't stand as candidates. And that's considered culturally appropriate because that's how they run their day-to-day lives, and their governmental system therefore reflects that. That is the situation here in Tonga. But that does not mean that that's a conversation we cannot have, as the Prime Minister has raised, but it must be within that broader, more nuanced context, I believe.
So what you're suggesting is that there's more behind what the Prime Minister says than simply getting rid of the nobles' reserved seats from Parliament. You're suggesting he's trying some root and branch constitutional reform.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. It's been very obvious for a long time that that's the political end game. It's fairly well known both within the country and to an extent abroad. And I think if the more honest we are about that, the more honest the conversation we can have about the dialogue that he's mentioned.
You've talked about the social role of the nobles and land distribution and things like that, but isn't it a slightly harder sell to tell people that 33 men, nobles, should have 9 reserved seats in Parliament? The Prime Minister says it should be one man, one vote. That's an easier sell, isn't it?
I think it's an easier sell, as I said before, in a very simplistic one man, one vote, because that's how you run your day-to-day lives. If it was a one-man, one-vote system, then we would have commercial land whereby you would have to buy land like you do everywhere else in the world, and the state, via the nobles, would not give you a free 8.25 acres for you to live off completely gratis. So it's those nuances that impact our land tenure system and therefore our economy and the way we run the country that must also always be taken into consideration. The fact that these 33 men have 9 seats reserved for them, these seats aren't reserved for these 33 men solely. It's for these 33 men and the myriad of people who they represent and who have a livelihood because they are given free land. This is the personal property of the Lords, which by law, by the Constitution and the Land Act, we are forced to give out, just as you would be forced to have your front lawn given out by an order of the state. We have to by law. It's a thing we do happily because it's part of our role as custodians of the culture and of the land and of the people.
How do you think the nobles will respond to this? Will there be resistance to the idea?
I think there won't necessarily be resistance because, unfortunately, I don't think the Prime Minister checked with his legal department. Constitutionally, any discussion in Parliament which involves debating a noble's title, his estate, or his right to be in Parliament can only be discussed by the nobles and debated by the nobles and voted by the nobles in Parliament. So those constitutional amendments, all the people's reps have to leave the House. So constitutionally, and there are also appellate court cases which have set that precedent. So there's a constitutional and legal bar to that occurring anyway.